From God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our gospel lesson, where we see those lepers say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You may be seated. It was a hot, hot day. It was the kind of day when you don't even feel your sweat because it's so dry that your sweat evaporates immediately. And we were headed with Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. And for a while, the only sound that we heard was the sound of our own feet on the ground as we walked. But then, through the still of that day, at first in a distance and then closer and closer, we heard them. Unclean, unclean, unclean. Naturally, we looked around. And then finally, as we rounded the crest and began down the hill that went into the village, we saw them. Standing off the side of the road a bit, as we walked toward them, we again heard them continue to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. There were 10 of them. And even if we had not heard their cry, we would have had no problem knowing exactly who they were. Some of them had rags wrapped around their hands. Others had their feet bundled up in cloth. All of them were dressed in tattered and torn clothing that people in their condition were required to wear. And all of them, as they were supposed to, had long, unkempt hair. There was no mistaking what they were. They were lepers. And the sight of them standing just off the path, staring at us like hungry, wounded animals, we stopped. None of us wanted to get any closer to those wretched creatures. And then, who could blame us for that? Leprosy is a terrible disease. It's simply awful. No one can recover from it. It slowly rots and destroys your body. And worse than that, it is so easy to catch. That's why the priests insist that everyone who has a skin blemish reports to them for an examination. And so then the priest will look at them, and if they have raw patches of flesh or white bumps or red marks or their hair is discolored, he pronounces them to be unclean. And then that person has to go into isolation for 7 days so that no one else is in danger. Can you imagine what it would be like during those 7 days? Wondering for an entire week if you have leprosy. Wondering if you're ever going to be able to live with your family again. I mean, on the outside, it seems really, really cruel. But honestly, it's fair for everybody concerned. It's fair for society because leprosy is such a terrible disease and you got to protect society. Granted, most times the person doesn't have leprosy. And so they go back to the priest after 7 days, their blemish is healed over, they're pronounced clean, and then they get to go back to their families and go back to their homes and go back to their jobs. But for those others, like the 10 we saw that day, their blemish had worsened. The color of their sores grew brighter. More of their skin is infected. And they are banished. They are declared forever unclean. forever they are unable to have normal human contact, unable to bounce their children on their knees, unable to hug their husbands or wives, unable to do anything that might cause someone else to catch what they have. I mean, imagine. Can you imagine living out the rest of your life in a makeshift shack? Having to live in a camp hundreds of feet outside of town, spending all your days suffering with people diseased like you. I mean, it's just so hard to think about. Not being able to see anyone you love, except at a distance of at least 100 yards, and only being able to talk to them by yelling. And after a while, the reality is that everyone you love stops coming to see you because they don't like looking at your body continually decaying. And anyone that you have to do with, despite the fact that they claim they love you, they'll never hug you or kiss you or touch you again, except those who are like you, those whose bodies are twisted and rotting just like yours. And imagine, too, waiting to see what's going to happen to you, waiting to see if your disease is going to spread as it has in others, taking away from you first one finger, then another, then maybe your whole hand, a toe, destroying your mouth and your nose so that you starve to death or you die from an infection, but not until you've lingered for several years. Imagine it, waiting, hoping, trying to hope. Trying to hope for that one in a million chance, hoping that your sores will clean up, hoping that you'll be able to go back to the priest and hear him say that word, clean. Imagine what it means to go around in rags and wear clothing that is torn and tattered all the time. Imagine how hard it must be to let your hair grow long and never be allowed to comb it. I mean, imagine how embarrassing it must be to have to cry out, unclean, 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 whenever you come anywhere near a normal person. That's what leprosy is all about. No one in their right mind would want to come near it. And that's why when we saw them, we stopped. We stopped when we saw the lepers that day. We were just being cautious as any right-thinking person would be in the presence of danger. And so we stopped and we wondered, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus, in defiance of all common sense, did not seem to be afraid of lepers. I mean, we had seen him actually touch a leper once who would come to him and beg him to be healed. Jesus just reached out and touched him and said, "Be clean," and the man was healed. It was quite an event. And in the back of my mind, I wondered, had those 10 lepers heard about what Jesus did with that one? And so we started making our way down to the village, and they spotted the teacher, and they began to call out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when Jesus heard this, he just stopped, and he points towards the village, and he says, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And the lepers listened. They kind of huddled up and they talked among themselves for a few minutes. And then all at once they turned and they started down that road into the village. And as we watched them go, the dust rising from their tracks, they hurried off ahead of us. We began to realize that Jesus had healed them. Why else would he have said to go show yourselves to the priests? We all knew that anyone who is healed of that disease is required to be pronounced clean by the priests. And so we were marveled that Jesus, with just a word, yelled at a distance, could heal those 10 men. And we found out just a few minutes later, it was actually so. We were told that as they went down the hill towards the village, that their sores began to dry up and their blemishes began to disappear. And with every step they took towards the town, they felt stronger and younger and more energetic, until when they finally rounded that final turn to the village, they noticed that they were completely clean. Can you imagine what an incredible walk that would have been for them? I mean, think about it. After all of their suffering, and then all of a sudden, at the word of a complete stranger, their loneliness, their pain, their banishment, it all began to evaporate. And with every step, it became more and more apparent that they could once again play with their children. They could go back home and hug their spouses. They could work with their brothers and their relatives. They could go back in the fields. They could return to their homes. As we continued our walk, we saw one of the lepers again. About 15 minutes must have gone by. He and the others had disappeared down the road before us, and he came back up the road to us. But we could tell that something had happened to him while he was still a fair way off, because that shuffling, cautious walk of the leper, well, it was gone. And he was striding rapidly up the hill towards us, and he was singing, and he was laughing, and he was praising God. And as he got closer to us, we could see that he was completely cured. His skin, what we could see of it through his tattered rags, was pink and was glowing with health. And when he got closer to us, he singled out Jesus, still singing and praising God. And he ran over to Jesus and he threw himself down on Jesus' feet and he thanked Jesus over and over again. And Jesus reached down on his head and he touched him on his head and he looked up at us and said, "We're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And yeah, we had noticed that the man at Jesus' feet had the accent of a Samaritan, that race of people who despises us, who refuses to sacrifice to God at the temple. And we wondered what Jesus' words meant when he looked down and said to the Samaritan, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And just like that, the man got up and went his way, still singing and praising God. Well, we stood there for a minute and we thought about what Jesus said. We even wondered if Jesus was angry at the other lepers for not coming back and thanking him and God for giving them their lives back. We wondered if Jesus was trying to tell us something about himself or about the Samaritan. I mean, it was a strange saying, but one thing was certain, that all 10 of the lepers were healed. Jesus had said so. But it also seemed to me that the one man, the one who came back, the one who came back and thanked Jesus, something even more special happened to him. Because not only was he cured, but he was made whole. His faith and his trust in Jesus was complete. The others with me that day also thought about the same thing. We talked about it among ourselves. We asked each other if Jesus was trying to tell us that there is something special about giving thanks to God. And we all got to wondering whether we would have behaved how we would have behaved given that we were one of those 10 lepers what they were given that day. Would we have been like the one who came back to thank Jesus? Or would we have just been so surprised and so happy to have our lives back that we would have just gone along with the formalities, gone and visited the priest, and then hurried back to our homes and our families and resumed our normal lives? And so we asked ourselves and each other, have we really ever thanked God for what we have? Or have we done what so many people do and simply go to the priest in the temple when the law tells us to, made the offerings and the prayers when we're supposed to go, and then return to our homes and carry on without really giving a thought that we are really, truly thankful? And we wondered, were we like the 9 lepers who were cleansed? Or were we like the one that was not only cleansed, but because of his faith, because of his giving thanks, was made whole? And maybe you've wondered the same thing. Are you truly thankful to God? Or have you just been going through the motions? I would really encourage you this week to take a moment or two and ponder that very important question. Are you truly thankful? Have you really taken the time to give thanks to God, who is the provider of every single thing in this world? He has done so much for us, especially in giving us his one and only Son to die on the cross. Now understand, he doesn't need our thanks, but he desires to know that we are thankful. So, sometime today, or tomorrow, sometime this weekend, just take a moment out of this busy, busy time of year and reflect on your thankfulness to God. May God bless you on this Thanksgiving Day. As we thank him for all the blessings that he has given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.